So David, poets have been playing with the expressive possibilities of sound for centuries. I mean, what are the forces that these poets are playing with, and how have they developed them over the years?
Well, in the English tradition, we're talking about rhyme and meter, right? We're talking about poetic forms like the sonnet, which I think we're all pretty familiar with from our English classes. It's a poem of 14 lines that uses any number of rhyme schemes, but it's usually A, B, A, B, C, D, C, D, E, F, E, F, G, G, right? And there's about 10 syllables per line, usually. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day, right? That kind of thing, Shakespeare. That's usually what we're thinking about when we're thinking about poetry.
Like the fugue we just heard with the Ernest Toque piece.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, in the 20th century, what happens then is we move away in poetry from traditional forms toward free verse, where the rhythm and the music of the language is what the poet is relying upon to create a sense of wholeness and form.
Interestingly enough, that's exactly what this next composition does as well when you're describing poetry, but he does it with music, obviously. But the reason I picked this next piece for a concert is because the composer calls it a poem. Why would he do that when there's no words?
Well, first of all, I think writers love music because it's a very pure art form. I mean, it can suggest a story, it can create images without words, and I think that's just a very attractive idea.
Hold on, no, just for the record, did you just say writers love music because it doesn't use words?
Sure, I mean, we're trying to create in the listener a sense of deep emotion and meaning, right? And how can you do that in as few words as possible? And it's especially fascinating, I think, to think about this composer. Why is he choosing the term poem for this piece? You know, I'm trying to use sounds and put them into some kind of poetic form. I don't know. We'll just have to hear it.